again, it's Tony McCurry, CBG Tony, up for the Tuesday Night Pal Talk on October 3rd, 2017. And I'm still in my Fruit of the Spirit study. This is going to be my fifth study. And tonight I'm going to be dwelling on the heart and the mind, and how God deals with the heart and the mind. You know, I've done a study on love and a study on light, and when looking at the fruit of the Spirit, I've accumulated a list, and I think I got it wrote down here somewhere, but I think it's upwards of 53 attributes that go into the fruit of the Spirit, and I'm going to be going over all of them at some point. Might do 2, 3, or 4 in one study, but it don't matter. As long as the Lord receives the blessings. And but tonight's study is going to be on the heart and the mind. And start out reading Ephesians 5, 9, and 10. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. When we look at goodness, virtues, and truth, these are the virtues under Christ's direction and His Word. And His Word is truth. And as long as we keep Christ on our hearts and on a constant basis, that the virtues are going to flow, and we are the examples that come forth, and it shows in our walk. The heart and the mind are so closely related to our walk that we pretty much tie them together as one. But in my recent studies of the fruit of the Spirit, the heart and the emotions that are tied to it is a central system that drives the brain's direction, creating a person's walk or direction. Without the brain, the body don't move. And come to mind on that is the central nervous. When the central nervous system is cut, the body is just a shell that is in dependent on others for life. Chip is very well acquainted with this situation with Lulu, with the medical condition that she's accumulated. But a person's walk is decided by the heart first, then the mind. You can have something on your heart, but think better of it and don't follow through with the situation. The virtues of God are the fruit of the Spirit. And Christ is the vine that feeds the fruit. As of now, I've gotten 52 words associated with the fruit of the Spirit. But I know that's just a scratching of the surface. But by following Christ's direction, like the Apostle Paul, we should have the hourly, daily, or weekly earnest desire to embrace His virtues. Turning to Jeremiah 9:23 and 24, we read this quite regular. I think me and Mike have the privileges on these because we like to post them a lot. It means a lot. I know it does for me, and it does for Mike too, because this is something that we should think about also. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercises loving kindness that's in the heart, judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So following the Lord's virtues brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. looking at all the virtues, and I could name all of them, but it would take me a while. But we've got patience, humbleness, nourishment, nourish, suffering, and believe it or not, is a virtue. Godliness, goodness, righteousness, meekness, hospitality, joyful, just to name a few. I would be here for another 5 or 10 minutes just naming off all of them. You can see where the mindset comes from by following Christ's direction. Then all else falls into place. Tonight's word study is directed to the heart and the mind of man. In 2 Thessalonians 3:5, "And let the Lord and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ." This is naturally in a prior dispensation, but this is something that we can carry over because it's practical truth. Looking in the heart of man in Ephesians 2, we know this practically by heart. Ephesians 2:2, "Wherein in times past," old times. Now he's talking about the Ephesians before they come to the knowledge of Christ. "Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So the spirit was now in the children of disobedience. Well, there's that old spirit is still here. But when we look at that, that was a chosen direction of the heart that the person walked in that time, and it is still a chosen direction of the heart today in those that choose not to live a godly life or live by the Word of God. The heart of man, as far as looking up the term heart of man, I know you'll all know this number right off the top of your head, but how many times is this in Scripture, heart of man? Well, man, if it's associated with man, we know that it's going to be in there 6 times right off the top of our head. And you would be right. It is in there 6 times. And as always, the number 6 is associated with man. And I'm using these verses to associate the fruit of the Spirit with these particular practical verses in Scripture and how we can learn from them. And first one's in Psalms 104:15. "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens a man's heart." Well, this is the King in his coming power and glory. And putting the verse in context, we'll go back and read 13 and 14 to go with it. "He watereth the hills," this is the Lord, "He watereth the hills from his chambers. The earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He casteth the grass, causeth the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth." Here the heart is spiritually satisfied and physically satisfied. And then in verse 15, "And wine that maketh glad the heart of man, oil make his face shine, and bread strengthen a man's heart, because of the abundance of God's grace on the land." The bread is not loaves of bread that we're talking. The bread here is food, nourishment. It's everything. At this time, he's talking about how the abundance of the earth put forth, and the man is totally satisfied. He's got everything that he could ask for. Then we get into Proverbs. The title Proverbs is Hebrew for Mishlei and Greek for Paromaia. Any dark, sensuous saying, proverbia, whence the English name in Hebrew, is to rule, hence applied to words which are to rule and govern the life, not a collection of human wisdom, but of divine rules from heaven for earth. The structure of Proverbs 10:1-19:9 is by Solomon for all. In Proverbs 12:25, heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad. When looking at this, personal or social affliction makes the heart stoop or sorrowful, but positive, securing words rest on the spiritual heart. A good word is one of comfort. And the next one is Proverbs 18:12, and these are personal virtues in social life. Before destruction, the heart of man is haughty, and before honor is humility. The Hebrew form is galbal for haughty, and it's to rise up to a great height. So a man that puts himself above where he needs to be is the destruction of that man. It can bring him down destruction. And then before honor is humility, and it's an alval. A man left to his own devices will always do the wrong thing, but in keeping a humble heart, he will prosper. Scripture gives proof over and over again throughout, from Genesis all the way to Revelation. And the fourth one's in Proverbs 25, and this is a call to hear. Counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. And this automatically makes me think about David when he had Uriah killed, because he had already laid with Bathsheba. So he worked it up in his own head to have a man destroyed to be able to have this woman by law. But Nathan the prophet came by and gave David this parable, and David was ready to have the person in this parable brought before him and killed. But then Nathan told David that he was that man. And then he went on to tell him what was going to happen. So, and that makes Nathan the wise man, but Nathan was a prophet. So, in my eyes, any man that lives the Word of God is going to be a wise man. If he follows God's direction, he's going to be a wise man. We're going to make mistakes when we think of our own understanding a lot of times. But if we sit back and pray to the Lord and follow His direction, we're going to be right more times than we're going to be wrong. Let's see. And the fifth one is Proverbs 27:19. And this is the words to the wise, is the structure of this. It's against self-praise and arrogance. As in water, face answereth to face, so the heart of man, here we go, the word heart of man, to man. The outward expression of man can be judged and seen what is on his heart by others. I see this verse as saying the expression on the water is easy to determine, as the heart of man can reflect his attitude to another man who knows his worth by his actions. My example on this one is not a pretty one, because today we see happening in front of the world this group called Antifa that is claiming to be one thing, which is anti-fascist, but the entire group and their entire actions is described by the letter as being fascist. So people that know the definition know that they're wrong, they're lying. So a wise man sees through the lie that's put before him. And the commentary of Lord Bacon observes that there are six ways whereby the knowledge of men may be drawn out and disclosed: by their faces and countenance, by words, by deeds, by their nature, by their ends, and by relations of others. So when a neutral person is observing someone and they go through these, you can tell the heart of that person. The people that I'm looking at right here on this screen have a heart of gold. We all make mistakes, but I know the heart of these people from their actions, that they've handled themselves with the brethren or with other people in general. Ronnie's not here, so I can kind of talk about him. But this man, I've seen him handle people that were not a good discourse, but he handled it in such a clean way that I'm proud to know that I'm associated with him. And I'm sure the rest of you guys are too. We as humans can't even fathom, bless you, baby, what God has in store for us. And the sixth one is 1 Corinthians 2:9. But as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them in love. And let me go back to, what is that, 2:9? Let's go back to 2, I think it's 6, Chip. 1 Corinthians 2:6. Because these are verses that Barney went over the other day, and you can't say it enough. See, Barney was saying how God hides things from people, or the wisdom is there, and it's so true. And howbeit we speak wisdom in 6, among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor the princes of this world that come to naught. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for if they had known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. And when you look at that and you see that, well, you know now why Satan didn't know what was going on, because things wouldn't have happened the way it did. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which has prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. David, giving his son Solomon advice before turning over his reign as king in 1 Chronicles 28:9, states that, "And thou, Solomon my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and willing mind, for the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee, but if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." So this is just before David turns over his reign to Solomon, and then allows Solomon to be king, and David take the back seat. In 1 Timothy 1:4-6, neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies, which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. Now the end of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart, and of a good conscience, and of faith unfeigned, from which some have swerved and have turned aside unto vain jangling. Now the end of the commandment is naturally comes from John 13:34, where Christ himself says, "A new commandment I give you." Now this commandment overrides all the other commandments, because this commandment is the strongest and most effective commandment that mankind can use. It's when this is dealt with in a man's heart, it comes forth in his walk, and it brings forth the fruit of the Spirit. In 1 Timothy 2:22, we have a comparable verse to 1 Timothy 1. It says, "Flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity," which is love, "peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." A pure heart. Those that love the Lord sincerely have the pure heart. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing that they do gender strifes. And Titus 2:7, "In all things showing thyself a pattern of good works, in doctrine showing uncorruptness, gravity, and sincerity. Though but a young man thyself," talking to Titus, "all teaching is useless unless the teacher's example confirms his word." Showing how God knows the heart of man, we turn to Acts 1:24. And they prayed and said, Thou, Lord, which knowest the hearts of all men, show whether of these things, these two, thou hast chosen. Well, this is between Matthias, here we see the heart of man is known to God, and their walk is not in sight. There is separation from walk and fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is the first and deepest emotion of man that determines the walk thereafter. The virtues which Paul puts forth are produced by the Holy Spirit, hence Paul does not trace them to our own earthly hearts, because our earthly heart set is usually filled with old man issues and the works of the flesh. In Colossians 3:22-23, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart. This is cardia, fearing God to the Lord, and whatsoever you do, do it heartily, that suke, as to the Lord and not unto men. Now, cardia is prolonged from a primary verb. It's 25:88, and it's the heart, the thoughts or feelings, also the middle or broken hearted. And then psuche is breath, by implication of spirit. So you have two hearts here. One is man's heart and one is from God. And in Psalms 111:1, well, actually, the fruit of the Spirit is the driving force of the believer for direction in every aspect. But in Psalms 111:1, praise ye the Lord, I will praise the Lord with my whole heart, in the assembly of the upright and in the congregation. Then we go to comparable verses in Ephesians 6:5-6 that is comparable to Colossians 3:22-23. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters, according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, cardia, as unto Christ, not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. Tsuke. So here we go. The two hearts, one is associated to man, and one is associated to the Lord, to Christ, to the Spirit. Doing the will of God is the unseen but ever-present master, the best guarantee for your serving faithfully your earthly master, alike when present and absent. My final verses are going to be in Philippians 4:7-9. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, my brother, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things, which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. And this is Paul speaking to a Gentile city. These are the virtues that Paul put forth, and he's saying that you've seen in me, so do. And Philippians, we'll go back to Philippians 2, 1 to 5, and I probably should have read this one first. But if there be any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind. Let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also is in Christ Jesus. And that's my study for tonight. And I hope somebody got something out of that. It was a joy to put together. But anytime you get to looking at the scripture and studying it, it's going to be to a benefit. If we think on Christ on a hourly, daily, minute basis, don't never let Christ go far from you at all. If we just live according to the words that we read in Scripture, live a Christ-filled life, we're going to have the fruit of the Spirit, and we will be considered in God's eyes as being wise because we followed His lead. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again, dear Lord, for this day, and Lord, for all those blessings. And Lord, again, we ask that you search all our hearts for those that need a healing or comforting touch. And Lord, we have near and dear friends to us that have needs also, and you know who they are. Lord, we ask that you be with them. And Lord, again, we're just so thankful for all that you do. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.